Hi, I'm Stephanie Rowell from HSF's Head Office Advisory Team, and welcome to Reporting for Duties. Reporting for Duties is our limited podcast series aiming to provide bite-sized insights on corporate reporting and ESG. In this episode, we have Lauren Selby reporting for duty, and our topic for discussion is preparing your governance frameworks for the new sustainability reporting requirements. Mandatory climate reporting is coming soon, and a lot of our companies are thinking about how to prepare for the new reporting requirements. A key element of preparing for the reporting regime is considering the company's governance arrangements and whether they are appropriate for the new requirements. Companies are undertaking a number of actions to consider and, if necessary, uplift their climate governance arrangements. Before we get into it, though, I would like to acknowledge the traditional owners of the land from which we are broadcasting today, the Gadigal people of the Eora Nation, and pay my respects to elders both past and present. So with that said, Lauren, why are we so focused on governance?
Thanks, Steph. Look, I think climate is a risk area for many companies. It's also an opportunity for many companies. So it's really important to have a good governance framework around how the company is going to respond and manage climate risks and opportunities. Ultimately, as you mentioned, companies will need to prepare a sustainability report, and that report will need to be approved by the board. And that process of reviewing and approving a sustainability report will be similar to what is undertaken to approve financial statements and the rest of the annual report. And so you'll need to think about your governance arrangements in light of those, the fact that you'll now need to include the sustainability report in the annual report. Governance also comes up in terms of the content of what you're going to need to disclose. The draft AASB standards require specific disclosures about climate governance, so it will be really important to think ahead about what your climate governance framework looks like and whether it is fit for purpose, noting that obviously you're going to need to describe it in only a matter of months. And more generally, I think there's a growing expectation from stakeholders, including shareholders and regulators, that companies do have a good governance framework in place, and the board has been thinking about this in the way it oversees climate issues. So now really is the time to get the house in order.
Thanks, Lauren. We obviously work with a lot of listed companies at the head office advisory team. And what are we seeing our clients or other companies do now to prepare?
They're doing a lot of things, in short, and there's not a really a right answer or a wrong answer, because you need to look at what your current climate governance framework looks like and think about, well, is this fit for purpose? And for different companies, that framework will look different. Some of the things that our clients are thinking about is, you know, the responsibilities at the board and the board committee level. So who is actually accountable for what in the climate space? So thinking about that, you know, in terms of you're going to need to prepare a sustainability report, it's going to need to be approved by the board. Will there be a committee that looks at that report? Will more than one committee look at that report? Which committee is responsible for considering climate-related risks and opportunities? In some cases, companies might currently have more than one committee looking at climate. So you might have a risk committee and you might also have a sustainability committee. And so just thinking about who is going to be doing what is really important, so that there's clear lines of responsibility. And then you need to go that step further and actually document that in your board and committee charters. So that's taking up a lot of time from a company perspective, and we've been talking to clients a lot about that. But from a management perspective, there's also governance-related activities that you can be thinking about. So many companies are putting in place working groups in light of these new disclosure requirements. And so thinking about who is the right group of people to be on that working group, you know, make sure you've got the right people from the right teams. Thinking about, you know, who should actually be the ones preparing the climate report is another issue that companies are thinking about. You know, many companies already publish some type of sustainability report or reporting in this space, and that might be led by the climate teams or a sustainability team, which may make sense to continue in light of the new requirements. But some companies are also thinking, well, actually, given this report is going to form part of the annual report, maybe it would make sense for it to go to legal team and they should be the owners or the finance team. So just thinking a little bit about who is the one or which team has the pen, I guess, is one way to think about it. The other side of things, I mean, the list can go on. I won't go on for too long, but I think, you know, companies are also thinking about the skills and experience at a board level and at a management level. And do they have the right people around the tables? They might need additional training or potentially additional people need to be engaged so that the right skills and the right competencies are around the table as you are embarking on this climate reporting journey. And lastly, I guess some companies are kind of going even further than that. And they're thinking about what does their climate report or sustainability report, what's it going to look like? What's it going to say? And they might even be starting to prepare like an early draft or a skeleton and thinking about what's that end goal? What are we going to try and say? And then it's our framework and our policies and our processes. Do they reflect what that end goal looks like? Or do we need to be making changes so that we can report in the way that we want to report? So that's a lot of information, but that's some of the things that companies are thinking about from a governance perspective to prepare ahead of time.
That's really interesting. Thanks, Lauren. What are the key learnings from all these actions that companies are undertaking?
There's a few. I would say the first one is, if you haven't started to think about these things, it's time to start now. There isn't a right or a wrong answer to a lot of this stuff because it needs to make sense for your company, and each company, it'll look a little bit different. But the thinking around this does take a little bit of time, and then the documenting also takes a little bit of time. So if you haven't started, it is worth thinking about. And it's not something you can go, oh, we'll just wait and kind of do the same as what company X does. You know, as I said, every company will be a little bit different. So you do need to do the thinking. We've seen a wide range of approaches, you know, in terms of the charters that we're looking at, with some companies wanting to take more of a light touch approach, other companies including more detail. So again, it's just thinking about what do we want our framework to look like? And a little bit of that depends on the business. You know, what sector are you in? What industry are you in? What type of committees do you currently have? What level of detail is currently in your charters? What's the impact on climate on your business? So again, it will be what makes sense for your business will really drive that level of detail. Some companies are looking at climate slightly differently. I think originally companies used to see it as, you know, they put in place sustainability committees and there was a real focus on sustainability as its own issue. And for many companies, that will continue. I think for some companies, they're also now thinking instead, actually, we're just going to integrate this into our existing governance policies and processes and procedures and treat it like a business risk and a business opportunity in the same way we look at other risks and opportunities. So again, it's just thinking ahead of time, like what do we think makes sense for our business? And then lastly, you know, whatever approach is taken, you know, management and the board and the committees really need to think about that division of responsibility and making sure that there's clear lines of accountability so everyone knows what they're meant to be doing.
Thanks, Lauren. That's been really insightful. And thank you for joining us today. This was Lauren Selby and Stephanie Rao reporting for Duty.
You have been listening to a podcast brought to you by Herbert Smith Freehills. For more episodes, please go to our channel on iTunes, Spotify, or SoundCloud, and visit our website, herbertsmithfreehills.com, for more insights relevant to your business.